today's reading is from Genesis 32. It's in two parts, verses 6 to 12, and then verses 22 to 32. Not sure what page it is in church Bibles, but it's near the beginning. So, Genesis 32, starting from verse 6. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, "If Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape." Then Jacob prayed, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, 'Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper,' I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. If I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I've become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, 'I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted.'" And now skipping ahead to verse 22. "That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon." This is the word of the Lord. So, in summary, in Genesis 32, 22 to 32, we have a story of Jacob wrestling with a man all night. The stranger could not overpower him, so he touched a socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched. Daybreak approached, and he would not let the stranger go unless he blessed him. The stranger asked Jacob his name and then renamed him Israel, as he had struggled with God and with man and had prevailed. Jacob asked the stranger his name, but the mysterious stranger would not give it. After the encounter, Jacob realized that he had had an encounter with God and was left with a limp. This is a short story which covers an all-night encounter which changes a man's life and the course of history. Artists over the years have given their interpretation of this story. Can we have a first slide, please? This painting by Rembrandt shows God as tender, loving, and merciful. This is accentuated by the angel being portrayed as feminine. Jacob is putting full effort into wrestling the angel, as evidenced by his positioning and his eyes closed in effort. Yet the angel is calm and serene. The angel holds Jacob with tender hands and arms. All the while, she is gazing down on him with a look of love. Even when he tires, he is held in the arms of God. I get the impression that the angel was allowing the wrestling to go on all night, that she limited her strength in order to allow Jacob to continue wrestling, giving him strength and support when necessary. You can see that she is gradually repositioning Jacob so that his head is gradually being forced around, so that he is compelled to look his opponent in the face. He will not be allowed to avoid confronting his past, his present, and his future. Jacob had a past which was catching up with him. His name meant grasper or deceiver. He was so named as he was grasping his twin brother's heel as his twin brother was born before him. Thereafter, he lived up to his name. He deceived his brother Esau when he convinced him to sell his birthright for a bowl of lentil stew, when he was starving and exhausted and vulnerable, following a hard and unsuccessful hunt. Later on, he deceived both his father Isaac and his brother Esau. When the time had come for Esau to prepare his father a meal of wild game and receive his father's blessing, Jacob dressed up in animal skins and his brother's clothes to impersonate his hairy brother. He presented him a meal of goat and received the blessing intended for Esau. This divided the family, and he escaped Esau's wrath by fleeing to his mother's family in Haran. He was taken in by his uncle Laban, became Laban's employee, and he married Laban's two daughters. But Laban was just as scheming as Jacob, and there ensued a battle of wits as each schemed against the other over many years. He then fled Laban and headed home. And now we are here. Jacob, knowing that Esau is on his way to meet him, has sent his family and belongings on ahead of him, and he is all alone. All alone except for God, who wrestles him all night. Jacob has been a deceiver all his life, but this will no longer serve him. His past, his brother, is catching up with him, and his ways of doing things will no longer suffice. He has met his match. He has come to the end of his own resources. He can no longer rely upon his wit and cunning and scheming. He must now rely on God. God touches his hip, and Jacob now has a limp. A reminder of his encounter with God. A reminder that he has now changed, and that he must now rely upon God in his life. The God who chose his grandfather, Abraham, and now chooses him. To mark this event, which is like an initiation or baptism, he is given a new name. He is no longer Jacob the grasper. He is now Israel, which means he who struggles with God. God chose and loved Jacob. He loved the person he was, but he loved him enough not to leave him that way. He changed him into a person God saw he could become. He not only chose Jacob, but he also chose a people who'd come from him, the nation of Israel, a nation who would bear God's name and who would bless the nations of the earth, and a family line that would lead to Jesus. Can we have the next slide, please? This is a pencil drawing by Sir Jacob Epstein. The Tate Gallery describes this piece as two male figures locked in a struggle. The two intertwined muscular bodies conveys the physical force as they wrestle for supremacy. Whereas many artworks depicting Jacob wrestling the angel show God as wrestling effortlessly while Jacob struggles with all his might, Epstein's work shows a more even match. Two men giving it their all in a struggle to come out on top. We have a God who is so far beyond our imagination, a God who men of the Old Testament, including Jacob, were afraid to see face to face lest they die. Yet we have a God who is willing to meet humans where they are, who is willing to come down in human form, who is willing to hide the full extent of his glory so that he can see us face to face, who is willing to get up close and personal, a God who is willing to wrestle and struggle with Jacob and is willing to limit his strength and power in order to allow Jacob to wrestle him all night. Here we have a God who is with us, a God who is closer than we can imagine, a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. Jacob will not let God go unless he blesses him. God could easily have escaped if he had wanted to. Jacob thinks he is earning the blessing through his striving, but God is only too willing to bless. In this encounter, Jacob is blessed. His identity is changed, and the course of his life is changed. And he is prepared for his encounter with Esau and for becoming the man God intended him to become. Can we have the next slide, please? This is a Bible illustration by French artist Gustave Doré. In this picture, we see Jacob wrestling with all his might, pouring everything into this struggle with God. God, however, is calm, patient, graceful, and in control. He allows Jacob to give him everything he has got. He allows Jacob to pour all his strength and all his emotions onto him. His worry, his fear, his frustration, his anger, his processing of the past, his striving, his desire to overcome. We see this kind of God in the Psalms. In the Psalms, we see the psalm writers pour out their emotions to God, whether it's praise, worship, joy, disorientation, fear, regret, sorrow, anger, or complaint. The Psalms are a kaleidoscope of human emotion, and at times are not pretty or comfortable. About 40% of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. Psalmists can even be challenging of God. Psalm 6, verse 3 says, "My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long?" Psalm 10, verse 1 says, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Psalm 44, verse 23 says, "Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever." Some psalms of lament start with disorientation, but end with a reorientation back to hope and trust. Some start with despair and anger, but end with praise. I have had evenings where I've poured out my emotions to God, where I've struggled with God in prayer and let him have all my disappointment, anger, frustration, and grief, and when exhausted, fallen asleep in his arms. Yet when morning comes, the sun rises, it is a new day, and I wake with a new hope. We have a God who is with us in our suffering. We have a God who meets us face to face. A God who touches us palm to palm. Whether it's to hold our hand gently like a father, or for us to clench and squeeze his hands with all our might as we process all our pain and grief. In this picture, we see God portrayed as a Christ-like figure as he stands on the hill, arms outstretched as he willingly takes human suffering upon himself. Years later, on another hill in Jerusalem, when he comes down in human form. Jesus speaks the first and last verses of Psalm 22, a psalm of lament which describes his crucifixion, which begins with the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And ends in the words, he has done it. For 29 verses in between, which he doesn't speak, describes in detail the suffering that Jesus experiences on the cross. In times where I have encountered suffering and difficult times, I find comfort that we have a God who understands our suffering, who has willingly lived the life of a human, and has willingly undergone extreme suffering. I find comfort that Jesus has gone through a Gethsemane experience similar to the writers of the Psalms and like the saints over the years, and has gone through the suffering of the cross and has come out the other side in victory. After this all-night encounter with God, Jacob sets out to meet Esau. We read further in Genesis 33. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau, coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Jacob was imagining his meeting with Esau, he was expecting revenge, retribution, rejection, and violence. But instead of encountering judgment and punishment, he was swept up into big, hairy arms of grace. The strong body of his brother, which he expected to punish him, instead hugged him and kissed him. This is a foreshadowing of a greater redemption story, that of a prodigal son in Luke 15. Can we have the next slide, please? This painting is A Prodigal Son by Charlie Mackesy. The son who had rejected his father so badly, the son who had demanded his inheritance and had spent it all on wild living, set back home to face his father. But his father, who saw him from a long way off, ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. The son was expecting judgment, at most hoping to become like a servant. But instead, he was swept into his father's loving arms of grace. And this is a story which is repeated day by day. No matter what we have done, no matter what has happened in our past, no matter our present circumstances, no matter how long we have been estranged from God, or even if we have not yet committed our lives to God, we can always set out to journey towards God, God who is looking out for us and sees us from a long way off. And instead of punishment and rejection, we will be swept up into the loving arms of God. We will be swept up into his loving arms of grace.